Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock. It's a Saturday. It means it's time for a Talk Magic, and I'm super excited. Anybody who's been watching this channel for any length of time will know for the last couple of years, around about this time, I've done an interview with Michael J. Fitch about one of the most exciting conventions that happens in the Magic calendar year, which is the Magic Circle Convention. It's now in its third year. This year, I'm not just talking to Michael. I'm talking to Michael J. Fitch, probably one of the, if the most successful magician in the UK. And with him, the actual current vice president of the Magic Circle, who a man who actually beat Michael to the vice presidency, an incredible close-up magician, somebody who wrote the book on close-up magic, and then some, and it's a great book, by the way. Buy it if you haven't. It's awesome. I am, of course, talking about Lee Hathaway. And between them, they're organizing the convention, and we're going to talk about all things Magic Circle. How are you doing, guys? You okay?
Cheers. Very good. Thank you. Cheers, Lee.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers, Craig. Cheers, everyone.
You guys have wine. I have Pepsi, so this could go
anywhere. We're only having one bottle. We're being very professional. Just the one bottle.
Oh. Happy Saturday night, everybody.
Hey.
Actually, 7 a.m. on Tuesday, but
we're in the illusion. This part, when's this going out? I mean, this is live, obviously.
It's going out in 2 days' time. So it's going out in 2 or 3 days' time on Saturday.
There you go. It's out before Saturday. So that's good. Cheers. Have a drink with us. Pause it now. Get yourself a drink and join us for this chat. Here we go.
I'm excited. Right. They should be back now, in which case that's amazing. They've got wine. You've got wine. I've still got Pepsi. But we're going to go into this. The Magic Circle Convention is now in its third year. You were very instrumental, Michael, in making the whole thing happen because there wasn't a Magic Circle Convention for a very long time. And then year one, you brought it back with a bang, with Lee, with everybody else. It was an incredible convention. I remember I was there the whole time. It was really good. People asked how you could top it with year two, and you did. And then some. I spoke to everybody afterwards and they said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's now back for year three. And I know that both of you are hoping to make this even better than the first 2 years. Yeah, now absolutely. I want to talk all about the convention. I've already said it's one of my favorite conventions of the year. I think it's amazing. And we'll talk about why in a bit. But first of all, as I've got you guys here, two council members of the Magic Circle, let's just quickly talk about it for a minute because... No, look, let's be honest. During lockdown, it was turbulent for everybody. It was turbulent for magicians, but it was a turbulent period of time for the Magic Circle as well. There were ups and downs, there were highs or lows. I think that you navigated your way through that very, very successfully. But I think in the last few months, I've just seen more press. I'm not talking about within the magic community. I've seen more press outside of the magic community, just in the general public, about the Magic Circle than ever before. There was a period of time, even before COVID, where people weren't really mentioning the Magic Circle that much. But now when I go to gigs, like every day, people are like, are you in the Magic Circle? Are you in the Magic Circle? And that didn't happen for a few years. And I think that's not a coincidence. I think that's something to do with what's happened over the last few months. So, can we talk about that? I know Megan was an amazing president, but obviously... We're now in the era of Marvin, and I know that as somebody who's a businessman, he probably wants to make real kind of strides forward. And I can see from an outside, because I'm not on the council, I don't attend every meeting, from an outside perspective looking in, you guys are killing it.
Well, there's an amazing council, and Marvin is doing a fantastic job as a president, isn't he? We've noticed a change, but it's down to teamwork. And we have got an amazing council with the same vision. And these conversations have been going on for a long time, but definitely having having Marvin with the same vision, I think, you know, it's... Well, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've just come out of a run of Easter shows, which meant that the club was open for every day for the last week for over 10 days. And apart from that, we're looking to put on more public events and do more things to the public. Funny enough, I mentioned to on the members' Facebook group the other day that, you know, a lot of the remit of this, it feels like, you know, people might think, oh, that, you know, we're only interested in public events. But actually, a lot of the thinking behind that is to try and offer more benefits and more advantages to all the members. Because like you say yourself, Greg, the more the Magic Circle resonates with the public and the more that the public are talking about it, and, you know, a lot of that is organic because we're just really passionate about it and we just want to put on more stuff and we just want to talk about it more and we just want to have it mentioned here and there. And you never quite know nowadays with social media and the way that stuff escalates and goes off. You don't know where you're getting mentioned. You just keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and hope, you know, and hoping that it starts to resonate with people and having that passion and that drive for it. And I think that benefits all of the members, because if you're a professional magician and you're going out and you're working, you know, and you're a member of the Magic Circle, the fact that people are saying, you know, that's, you know, you want that kudos and that esteem, mm-hmm. you know, of years gone by, because mm-hmm. that's what, you know, that's what keeps it being the Magic Circle, you know, and keeps that sort of mystery and esteem in the eyes of the public.
And it's down to us to do that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, in the past, we're riding on what's happened in the past, like David Berglas, I think, was an amazing president. Any opportunity to get the Magic Circle mentioned on television, it seemed to happen. You know, he was a special guest on television shows as the president of the Magic Circle, which is why that sort of filtered through to, in a restaurant, you see a magician and the public say, are you a member of the Magic Circle? They might not know the details about the Magic Circle, but, you know, it's down to us to do that, to get youngsters to talk about the Magic Circle now and get it in on the news. I mean, even during lockdown, you know, we did the unlocked shows, and we did the 100 Years of Soaring in Half. And the Tommy
was great.
Got great publicity. And it's that which was spoken about also to the convention.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out as well, by the way, to Harry DeCruz and Ed Hilsum, who are running the Young Magicians Club. I mean, what a brilliant job they've done, you know.
Fantastic.
And we were stuck in the mud a bit with the YMC, and, you know, it tailed off after Mania. But now it's like, oh, they've made it so dynamic. I mean, there's, I think, something like, I don't want to be held to a figure, but I think something like 40% of the YMC members are girls. How brilliant is that? It's almost a half split.
Right? I was a judge last year, and the atmosphere in the building was incredible.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm from the kids and the days they're putting on and the advice is absolutely amazing. They're really doing a great job.
And obviously, I Ryland's in the YMC, and one thing that I've noticed from speaking to him about it is it's not just the fact that there's more people now in the YMC than ever before, and there's a bigger amount of girls in there than ever before. I come back and I say to Ryland, how's it gone? And they all just support each other so wonderfully. Like, when you saw that competition that you were judging, Michael, all the other acts that were in that competition, all of the other kids that were in the YMC that tried to get into the competition and didn't make it through to the finals, they're all supporting each other on, genuinely wanting each other to succeed. And that's something that you don't always see in competitions with adult magicians, you know. And I think that a lot of the time, the kids in the YMC are setting a better example than
absolutely. And I just absolutely love the idea that you know, and kudos to them for doing it. But the chair people and the people behind the YMC at the moment, we've got Harry DeCruz and Ed Hilsum, and they're people that have been in the YMC and come up through that process. And what better people to have at the helm now?
And you've got Preston doing the magazine, who's Preston doing an amazing job of the magazine.
I nearly declined to mention Preston there. And obviously all the other
and others involved as well. They've got an amazing team.
But just you know, keeping the Magic Circle relevant and keeping it, you know, popular amongst youngsters, especially nowadays where, you know, yourself, Craig, I mean, you're all over it. It's like, you know, when we were kids, what did we have? 3 television channels and all that, you know. And now you've got social media and Instagram and Facebook, and you know what, and there's so many other channels for people to see information from. So to keep it relevant is is really important, and so appealing to all those demographics, I think is essential.
Okay.
And actually, while we're talking about this, hopefully, if this goes out before Sunday,
it will. I was going to say, yeah.
So this Sunday is the Young Magician of the Year competition.
Yeah.
And that's not been around for a few years, has it?
No. And the lineup is incredible. And at the time, if this goes out before, if there are any tickets left, it's open to the public to go. Then go to the Magic Circle's website, and if you can snap a ticket up. There's two shows, is that right? There's Sunday afternoon and evening. So
yeah, and I'll tell you what I'll do as well. It's £20 a ticket, but I will share with you. Craig, can you put a crawler on this or a little?
Yeah, thing? I can. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so there's a discount code to get £5 off the tickets. If anyone wants to come, I'll let Craig know what it is, and we'll put a call up on the screen.
Brilliant. I'm going to have this out on Saturday. So if you're not doing anything tomorrow, there's two shows.
No, it's not tomorrow. It's next.
No, Saturday. No, it's when it goes out. Pretending it's on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Start that again. It's going to be going out. As of time of film, this is going out. But if you're not doing anything tomorrow... if you're not doing anything tomorrow, then there's two shows. There's a matinee show, there's an evening show. The lineup is incredible. I can't remember all of the names, but you've got Harry Piper, obviously Rodney Piper's son. You've got Killian O'Connor, who is the guy that came third in Britain's Got Talent. He's flying all the way over from Ireland. I think that you've got Jack Ranger Walsh, I believe, is in the final. You've got is it
Arabella Crawford?
Arabella Crawford.
Alexander Crawford's
yes.
daughter.
Her act themed on Frozen is incredible.
We had her in the New Year shows. She did her little Frozen act in the New Year shows, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's amazing. Yeah, I think she's doing that.
Amazing lineup.
Joseph Westbury, who's like the best Rubik's Cube magician I've ever seen.
Amazing.
And a kid called Ryland that's just average. But there's many.
Well, of course, absolutely. Wow.
There's a ton of really great acts. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be there. But
there's an offer. Use that code if you want to use that code. And if they hopefully it's sold out by now. But if it hasn't, go to the Magic Circle's website, go to tickets and look for Young Magician of the Year. And we'll see you there.
And especially the people that have won that in the past. I was looking at the people that have won it. It's a who's who of the magic industry that have won that award in the past.
Yeah.
So, amazing. So there's all this stuff happening. There's things going on.
We're going to come to talk about the convention and Richard Griffin later. And Richard Griffin is past.
Yes. What was a very good point. Yes.
We'll be coming to that. That's coming up in the show.
Fact, yes. Well, let's you've got all of this stuff going on in the circle. But I think for it, and a lot of it, all of these new shows, you talked about Easter shows. That's a new thing that you've done. You know, you're putting on those kids' afternoon shows that I know Dave Allen is very involved with, and that's been creating some buzz. There's some buzz everywhere about the Magic Circle. It's amazing. But it kind of all started with the first year of the convention, because that's where... there was something happened that was very, very different, because before that, it was kind of just a dealer day, wasn't it? And it was just, let's throw some dealers into a room. That's it. But I mean, the convention is amazing. And we're now in our third year. Let me ask you a question to both of you before we start talking about the convention. Was it difficult, or was there any stress thinking, oh my God, I've got to top the previous 2 years? Or did you just think, hey, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to do, we're just going to do the best convention on that we can.
I have the pleasure of working with Lee putting on the convention, and Lee is 100% on the same page as me. If we want to do something, we do it and get it done. We'll make a phone call straight away or make this happen. And it's been fun from now on, hasn't it? It's, there's been certain challenges, but all we wanted was for everyone to have a good time. And everyone, I'm talking about dealers, people attending the convention, we're talking about the acts, everyone treated with respect. And there was a real buzz. And that's, and then the second year, we have learned lessons each time.
We've definitely learned lessons, and we've definitely sort of thought, how can we improve something? And we've taken feedback and gone, we won't do that again, and we'll make that better. But I think in terms of topping it, though, it's quite interesting, Craig, because I don't think...
that's ever been, well, certainly not for me, and I'm sure Michael might agree, it's never, I've never felt like we need to top. I've always felt like Michael and I just go out and just try and do the absolute best we can and get the best people. And, you know, we've got, both of us have got contacts, both of us, you know, because it's a small convention, you need people to, you know, maybe, you know, see who's in, who's around, who's in town, who's not doing something, or, you know, people that call in favor, you know, call in favors and that sort of stuff. And both of us have got the ability to do that. And I think we've just always gone out and got, you know, and just wanted to make it the absolute best it can be, you know, every single time. There's not been a kind of, oh shit, you know, sorry, edit that. Beep. No, there's not been a sort of impetus to sort of feel like we've got to better what happened last year. Although, you know, last year was incredible. I mean, we had James and Marina who just,
oh, that was incredible,
blew it away. Yeah. You know? But this year we've got Debbie McGee. You know, we've got Debbie McGee.
We have got magic royalty.
I mean, I remember posting on, I was very lucky. I went to see James Fillon's show a few weeks ago and I bumped into Debbie McGee, and it's first, I brought my sister along, and it's the first time my sister's ever met Debbie McGee. Now, bear in mind, you know, magician growing up, recording every single Paul Daniels show on VHS ever, watching them over and over again. You know, I mean, you know, my sister has never been more excited to meet any celebrity in her life than Debbie McGee, you know, wow. And she sat like in front of us.
The
and,
lovely Debbie yeah. McGee.
And but and Debbie spent like about half an hour chatting to my sister. She was really interested in the fact she was a psychologist, and it was great. And I just, and what was really interesting, and sorry if I take a little bit too much time, but what was really fascinating was Debbie spent a long time chatting to my sister, and she was really open and honest about, you know, and very funny as well, very humorous about all these anecdotes about her working with Paul and that sort of thing. And I thought, you know, it's 8 years since Paul Daniels passed away, and, you know, time is a great healer, and she seemed to be willing to sort of share those things now and talk about it, you know. And I thought, and I just thought, oh my God, you know, we've got her at the convention. How brilliant is it going to be that she's ready to tell all those stories? And, you know, I genuinely think to myself, and Mike and I've discussed this, if you look at, you know, British magic, you know, UK over the last 50 years, I don't think you can count on one hand. You might have people like Wayne Dobson, who's alive now, that, you know, Wayne Dobson, you know, Daniels, except, you know, who's been at the helm of British magic, who knows everything about the ins and outs, the business side of it, the running around, the, you know, the contacts, the, you know, Ali Bongo, Pat Page, Graham Reed, who, you know, Graham Reed, all those people, Debbie McGee. I mean, there's nobody else you can cite who knows more.
She is magic royalty. She really is.
Absolute royalty. And I think, you know, I honestly think if any, and I'm not just saying this because I know it's our convention, I know we're trying to promote it, but I think that is going to be one of the highlights of the Magic Calendar, and I think it's going to be one of those events that people will really regret if they missed and they'll hear about, because,
yeah,
oh my God, who else would you want to hear about? If you've got any interest in magic in the past 30 years, you need to go and see Debbie McGee have a talk at the Circle.
And I bet she's going to have a million stories.
She's actually going to give away methods for tricks as well, because it's right. For a magic audience. So she's going to talk about, you know, some of these illusions and, you know, what and how they were done. Because I'm sure there's some amazing stories and stuff. So maybe we'll talk about the elephant vanish, or, I mean, actually, if people can get involved in the comments, because I would read the comments, what would be the question you would ask Debbie McGee? Have you got a favorite illusion that you've always wanted to know how it was done? Then add them in those comments, because I'll be having a chat with her and interviewing her. So,
but also, she's very willing, as well as the illusions and the methodology side of stuff, she was really willing to talk about the business side of it. Yeah. And I found that really fascinating, because, you know, she can tell you what it's like to deal with theatres, what it's like to deal with going on tour, what it's like to deal with cruise ships, what it's like to deal with corporate. I mean, there's no one else with a wealth of knowledge like that in the magic industry.
No, there's not.
I just think, you know,
it's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to all of it. Yeah. That's an exclusive. Yeah.
To answering your question, I don't think Michael and I have never looked a topic. We've just looked every time to just go out and do the best that we absolutely possibly can, you know, and make it work, you know, and try and get the best people.
Absolutely.
We've just been very lucky that we've got a great circle of friends, we've got a great circle of contacts. People want to support it. They want to support the Magic Circle. You know, I mean, Debbie's, you know, I mean, you know, I think I can probably say, I don't know, you know, Debbie's been up for doing the convention for the for, since it's in all, you know, since
it's inception. It's just we the just dates had, haven't just worked.
Worked with the dates.
Also, you know, also, but, exactly. Yeah. I Debbie was one of the first people I phoned when I was doing the first convention. And she couldn't do that date, and I've asked her the next one. So this is like third time lucky she's available for this date. Also, Michael Vincent, we wanted him first.
And you know, you know, and you know, and I won't mention any names, but you know, we've got a few people in the bag who are like big, big names who are totally up for doing it, that we just need to find the dates to make it work. You know, so we've got, you know, if people support this and they come along and we do future events, you know, we've got a few little surprises yet to.
Oh, absolutely! To and yeah, also, yeah. Just if you haven't been to the convention, just to paint a picture for you. So all of the lectures and the shows are in the Magic Circle Theatre. So we have the beautiful stage for it, and the sound, the lighting. So because when we first talked about it, we're like, oh, it's going to become too big. We need to put a stage somewhere and do like a convention in a hotel. But I was like, actually, it's the Magic Circle. We should have it at the Magic Circle.
Yeah, yeah,
and the
yeah,
nice
yeah.
thing is, for if there's non-members who are invited to the Magic Circle convention, which we'll come to, it's a chance for you to come and have a look around the Magic Circle. We've got James Friedman's going to be doing some tours of the museum and telling you some amazing stories. So you get to tour around the museum and see the Magic Circle. And if you love it, then we'd love to have you join us. But the dealers as well, we have got the Magic Emporium, because if you remember, Lee, I didn't want to call it a Dealers
Hall, yeah.
I come up with Magic Emporium, which others have since. Have you noticed? Anyway.
This year's Emporium is the biggest one yet. I heard a rumour that it's going into two rooms now. Is that right?
It is. We've had to hire the two big rooms, which is in the hotel directly behind the Magic Circle. So we open the back door of the Magic Circle, and it's really easy access between the dealers and the theatre. So, the Magic Emporium, Dealers Hall, there's two Dealers Halls, and we have got loads of incredible dealers.
And we've got some people flying in this time as well. Like it's becoming a bit of a... one of the smart things that Michael and I did, I thought, was because the Magic Circle's obviously... You know, we've got a capacity of sort of 165 people, which means that it's quite a boutique convention, but we wanted to make sure that the dealers got, you know, the maximum amount of business... The dealers hall was busy, so we've opened the dealers hall up to anybody. You can come along for a fiver, you know, come along, give us a fiver, go in the dealers hall, you know. So we've kept that dealers day element of it because we want to bring as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And you know, and to members, we've done it free of charge, so they can just come and browse the dealer hall. But what's nice about that is, you know, maybe someone, you know, has a gig, has some other commitment, can't spend the whole day at the convention, doesn't want to fork out, you know, 70 quid for a ticket to spend an hour there, but they can chip in the morning or something like that. Come and see the dealers quickly. You know, yeah. In London is great, and that worked well last year, didn't it?
It was a buzz in the dealers all the time.
But we'd like to create that as a, you know, if we can get that really going as a thing. Michael and I have even discussed, you know, maybe doing a little fringe event for them as well or something. You know, to like sort of come and encourage people just to come and see the dealers, and you know, we'll put on a little satellite show. Do you know what I mean? So that's another option too.
And the two day event was spoken about last year. We're getting feedback from members. A lot of people would like a 2 day event, but a lot of work goes into a 1 day event. Not everyone could do it. And I think in future, maybe next year is a big anniversary for the Magic Circle. Magic Circle is 120 years old next year. So expect lots of big, great shows and great things. So I think we'll probably upgrade the convention a bit more. We'll get this one out of the way first, but
yeah, I mean, one of the things that's always prohibitive with a 2 day convention, as International found out with Wednesday, and that is you know, the cost of hotels and accommodation in London, you know. So that's one of the reasons why we've kept it to 1 day so far.
Sunday thing, because also we looked at midweek as well, because but it's difficult because there's different demographics going to this. There's professional magicians. And then there's amateur magicians who have got like a 9-to-5 job Monday to Friday. But, you know, some of the professional magicians like would be happy to do a magic seminar midweek, have like a Wednesday, Thursday. But then we're limiting it even more. So, you know, the Sunday worked really
well. I think it worked great on the Sunday. You know, you're never going to please everyone, but no. I think the Sunday worked really well. It was just
quite a few do stay on the Saturday night and have a drink and get
together. They do. Yeah, also don't forget, I mean, the past few years we've had a history day before, which haven't got
a lot of people. There is a different day though.
Again, you know, I think that, you know, we've looked at, I hope people realize that, you know, Michael and I, as Michael said, we work really well together. You know, we're quite dynamic people and we're quite sort of ideas people that sort of look and see what else we could do, you know, and we look at things like that. So, you know, with the dealers hall, it's like, oh, we're getting a few people there, let's see if we can do a satellite event. If we think, oh, there's a few people staying on Saturday night, we'll look at it and go, well, maybe we can open up the HQ on a Saturday, maybe we can put a fringe event.
We want to do karaoke one.
Maybe
that's karaoke night on there. That's the big dream. We want a karaoke night.
Karaoke night.
That's all it's for.
Yeah. Book it, make it happen.
If Lewis Fuller's watching this, mate, we'll get the karaoke night
sorted. He won't put the mic down.
That's awesome.
But we guarantee, if you haven't been before, I promise you, it's a really friendly convention and it's really intimate. Like, you know, the Magic Circle isn't a massive theatre. It's 160. So you've got 100 or so downstairs. We've got a balcony. And it's a really intimate, and you know the lectures we've got are incredible.
One of my favourite conventions I've went to for a long time was the South Shields convention that was organised by
Duffy. That was brilliant.
And I met Tamariz there, and I met David Williamson there, and I met Paul Daniels there even. And one of the great things about it was that it was a small intimate convention, but they had these brilliant people. So Listen. I love Blackpool, and you know, and I've got all praise for the people running it. But you don't get real close to Matt King or to the performers because there's 3,000 people there. When you go to a convention, there's a couple hundred people. You're literally in the bar with Tamil. You're in the have a conversation and sit there and session with them all night. You know, and that's one of the nice things about the Magic Circle convention is I really feel we've got that kind of the combination of having the kudos and the ability to get really class acts and that lovely boutique sort of being really up close and personal with them as
we
well.
We should mention at this point, it's the 12th of May.
Yeah.
which I'm sure hopefully it'll be on there, but get your diaries out or look on your phones, Sunday the 12th of May. And if you are lucky enough to have that Sunday off, then if hopefully there's tickets available now, go to themagiccircle.co.uk/convention and there's a link to get in your tickets and come and join us because I promise you it's an amazing day. It ticks all the boxes.
It is. And I want to talk about the lineup.
Yes.
And I so that people understand why they should be coming. Before I do, very quickly, Lee, obviously you guys have been talking about the dealers. Very quickly, I'm looking at the website now. A rundown of the dealers, just to name a few. You've got Paul Martin for the Pro Magic Academy, Ben Williams, who is incredible, Stella Magic Shop, who is obviously Chris Congreve, Mark Chandow, Trick Trick Boom, the incredible Noel Qualter and Roddy McGee, Thomas Moore Creative, George Cavari, Pocket Miracles, who is Lord Harry Harrington, Monster Magic, Alex, who was at Prop Dog, now obviously Monster Magic, Pat Page Magic, Grum, who are doing a great job at the moment, Frosty Entertainment, Alakazam, Peter and Harry and Jenny and the rest of the team, International Magic, who have some real hidden gems, Magic TV, that'll be me and Matt, Castle Magic Services, which are now owned by Danny Hunt, Mark Bennett from obviously Smoke and Mirrors, Sean Goodman, who is incredible, Cyrus Magic, Jack Magic, who I believe is James Keatley, Rubik's Cube Magician, which is Colin Klaus and Kev G. And finally, Dietrich's, which is obviously Wayne Dobson and his right-hand man, Mike Sullivan. That's an incredible lineup of dealers. That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And there may be a couple more than that even so far. It's over two rooms. And, you know, the Wesley, because some people want different things at a convention. They want to sit down a session, have a pint. That's all going on. There's all of that going on as well as the lectures. And we've made the lectures. We were very conscious from attending conventions ourselves that people want to go to dealers and want to see the magicians. So we've made the lectures like 45-minute lectures. They're not going
on. The thing that I really liked about how your convention is spaced out is there's lots of room. It's not just lecture, 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 and you literally miss out on everything else. It is spaced out so well. So you can go around the dealer room. There's lots of places to session. You've got the Magic Circle bar. You've got the Devant room. You've got obviously the bar in the hotel. You've got all these different places where you can sit down and chat and session and catch up with people. And then you've got the dealer room and you've got time to do that. It's not like it's all just crammed in. So like, as much as I love Blackpool, and I do, you're never going to see anything and everything, and you could literally just be watching lecture.
Yeah, one of the great bits of feedback we got from the convention was so many people was they loved the 45-minute lectures, didn't they? It was enough time. It's like a school lesson. It's like it's enough time to go in. You can, you know, eat, drink either side. You're not, you know, we all know, you know, when a lecture's like an hour and a half and you go, oh, God, I've got to commit to this, you know, it's like, that's it. Whereas that you can sort of chip in, chip out, you know, and, but we still put on enough that everyone got the best of, you know, the best of the best. Yeah. But it, we just thought that was a really, it was something we tried. We weren't sure it was going to work. And the feedback we got from having those 45-minute sessions, it's almost like sort of a slightly extended TED Talk, you know, but people loved it, didn't they? They really loved that. You know, that was the optimum time that they wanted to, you know, could spend. And then, you know, after 45 minutes, you start going, okay, maybe I'll go and see someone, blah, 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 you know, yeah. So it worked really well, that.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got the running order on the...
Well, yeah, I'm going to go... I want to go through the running order, guys, if I can, because... Yeah. And that way we can talk about each of the individual artists that you've got lined up, because this is an incredible lineup, and it starts dealers... The dealer room opens at 10, but the first lecture is 11 to 11.45, and it's Richard Griffin, who, as you mentioned before, is a past winner of the Magic Circle Young Magician of the Year. Can you tell us about Richard and his lecture?
I spent most of my childhood going to the Demon Magic Club at Davenport's, of which Richard was a member. So I've known Richard since we were sort of like 8 years old. I'm so pleased to have him at the convention, and I'm so glad that he agreed to do it, because I often think he's probably not one of the massive names in magic that everybody knows, but they should do. And the reason they don't is because he spent so long off on cruise ships and sort of doing private.
He's a working pro.
And he's a very humble guy. He doesn't big himself up, keeps himself to himself. But oh my God, has he got knowledge?
Right? Yeah.
He's amazing. Right. Richard, I mean, he, you know, when we were kids, and we're a similar age, I think he might be a couple of years older than me, but we're similar now. And I'm 47 now. When we were youngsters, he was doing a dove act in his teenage years, right? Which I kid you not, rivals the best dove acts that I've ever seen in my life. Right, you know, it was up there with, you know, it was Marco Carvo, Lance Burton style of dove. It was brilliant. He did all the manipulations, he did all the dove loads, and he's retired that now, you know, and he's moved on from that. But the point is, he's going to be at the convention, and he's got all that knowledge, right? He's got all that. And sometimes, you know, it's quite funny when you speak to some, you know, when you speak to someone, you see old Richard Griffin. People don't know quite how much that guy has done in the past, you know. But I can tell you, oh my God, has he got experience and knowledge and the chops as well. You know, he's done it all, really has. You know, he's been on cruise ships, performed for all the best people through the years. I mean, he was the guy that when Michael Jackson visited Hamleys, do you know who he got in to perform for him? Richard Griffin, right? Yeah. And Marvin could have chosen anybody in the UK, right? And he got Richard Griffin because he is brilliant. Honestly, he's, to me, he's a bit of a hidden gem, and he's a bit of an unknown legend. And I don't think that, I'm glad, you know, that we've got him and the people have come along to see him. But, and I say this hand on heart, I don't think people realise, and they might do after this convention, quite how good and brilliant he is, because he is fantastic, and his knowledge base is extraordinary.
I presume he'll have a dealer's stand as well, because he has got some amazing creations.
He's the real deal, and we've got him.
I've got some things. Have you seen his bowling ball productions? Fantastic. You show the briefcase empty at the beginning, then close it. So you can get something out. You open the briefcase. You can take something out of it, close it, then pull out the bowling ball. He's got some amazing creations.
You know, for someone to come out of Britain that good, you know, that good in the last sort of 20, 30 years, he honestly, he's so good. I could rave about him. But
so there you go. He's opening the.
Yeah, and I don't think, and it'd be nice, you know, if especially British magicians, well, come along and see him and start to realise what an asset we've got in Richard, because he's not as well known as he should be, and he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
So there you go. That's a good first book in.
Right. I mean, that's a great start. And then after that,
you've got time to go to dealers, but then 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, you got James Friedman. Now, I'll tell you something. We talked about Ryland being in the YMC. They have some incredible lecturers. Like Harry and Edward have managed to pull in the best lecturers. And Ryland told me that of every lecture that they had at the YMC last year, James Friedman is his favorite by far. He came back trying to steal my wallet and my watch. And like, he was just so fired up watching that lecture. I mean, it's going to be incredible. I ever since Ryland said that to me, I've been trying to find somewhere for him to lecture so I can see it, because I've never seen him lecture.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited because now I get to see him.
Absolutely. And of course, he's going to be in the gala show as well. Born in the gala show. I mean, he's, what was his show called? James Friedman's pickpocket show called?
Oh, I can't remember.
Is it on here? But I know he had a fantastic
The Man of Steel.
Show.
The Man of
that's
Steel.
It, Man of Steel. Steel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man of Steel, that's it.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he's the only person to pick the pocket of the Prime Minister, the Chancellor, the Governor of the Bank of England, His Majesty the King. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got so much knowledge as well. He'll be doing the Magic Circle tours in the day as well, for the museum tour. We've got some amazing people who do our museum tours, but James is probably one of the best at doing the tours, isn't he?
Oh, they're all great, though. I mean, I don't want to take away from any. Actually, do you know what? Everyone that does our museum tours is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fantastic. I just had Derek Oliver doing the tour.
Oh, he was great. I saw that recently,
Laura was great. Paul Keir did them. He's brilliant. Harry de Cruz did some stuff last week. He was great. But James, in terms of his knowledge of that building, I mean, he's, you know, not only is he a great historian and a great magician, but he's also, you know, put his heart and soul into the Magic Circle over many years. So I think, if, you know, having him there on the day, if anyone, you've got any questions about anything in that building, James knows it inside out, back and front. Yeah.
And
I
believe he's
going to be an amazing lecture.
I believe he's a two-time winner of the Magic Circle Close-Up Magician of the Year as well.
Right, yeah.
Wow. And then from James, again, you have a nice break, which is just wonderful. And then at 2:15, we've mentioned this, the lovely Debbie McGee.
Absolutely.
I think that's going to be the highlight right there. I think that's going to be the one that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as everyone is on the bill, I think that's good. And here's the thing, you know, will you get a chance maybe to see Richard Griffin at another lecture at another convention at some point years down the line? Maybe. Will you get a chance to see the other acts at another convention? Probably. Maybe. I don't know. I don't see Debbie McGee doing another lecture anywhere. You know, I just don't. It's not her thing. It's not what she's doing this for you guys. So I think that this is going to be as close to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as you're going to get, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the fact that she's going to be talking about for the first time some of these hidden secrets for over 40 years, telling some stories. I mean, Debbie feels at home at the Magic Circle, because Debbie is the honorary vice president of the Magic Circle. And she's amongst friends, and we're so thrilled that she's doing this. And we're going to have some video clips from the past, and then we'll analyze those video clips, and she'll tell us what was going on behind the curtain or in the box, which is going to be amazing. And she's got some amazing stories, and she's so lovely, and she'll be there all day. And she's like Lee said, she's got advice on all of it, on showmanship and stage presence and the business side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've done magic since, you know, I was early as I can remember, 7 years old, and I'm 40 now, so nearly 40 years, you know. And Craig, you know, you've loved magic all your life, so has Michael. And I bet all of us can cite, like, there are certain moments in our lives and magical knowledge and careers that are just iconic, and you remember the time that you met such and such, or you remember that one thing you were at that was like, that just blew everyone away, you know. And that, you know, and you can still cite those, that those things that where you just, that feeling of like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. And I really, really think that this is going to be one of those moments.
Yeah,
100%, right? I really do. And I think people are going to massively regret it if they weren't there, because you'll hear about this. It's going to be, you know, an absolute
icon. Yeah, it is a real event.
Legend of British magic.
Yeah.
Is going to, you know, do a no holds bar talk, and oh my God, the things that she knows nobody else knows, you know, and it's going to be absolute gold.
Yeah. And the question is, when you have a lecture that's going to be as good as that, how do you follow it? Well, by putting on another legend of magic.
Mark and I are doing a bit of karaoke, actually.
Yeah, we're going to sing. You're singing New York City Boy.
But failing that, if that doesn't work.
Yeah, like this. Oh, right.
Not too long. Don't ruin it for people.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but failing the karaoke, you go for the next best thing, which is another legend of the British magic community, probably one of the greatest sleight of hand artists in the world today. Michael Vincent. I mean, and he I haven't seen Michael lecture for a long time. He doesn't lecture that much these days, I don't think. The last time I saw him lecture was about 10 years ago. And I thought I was good at coin magic when I saw him. And I thought I was good at card magic. I thought I was good at close-up magic. And then I watched him and he just completely humbled me. And I was like, well, okay, I'm not as good as I thought I was then, am I?
A class act. And he always was. I remember actually, going back to Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee, first seeing him on the Paul Daniels Magic Show.
I remember first seeing him on Secrets.
Yeah, I think he did a spot on the other show as well, the regular show actually first. I think he did he did a stand-up-y spot as well.
Yeah.
But he was always so class. And that was one of the things when I first joined the Magic Circle, was you meet these people you see, like, you know, Faye Presto and Michael Vincent, Ali Bongo, Pat Page, Alan Shaxson. All of a sudden, these heroes in magic, you get to know them. Michael Vincent, in fact, he's celebrating this year 50 years in magic. And he, my days, the advice he gives, he did a talk for members of the Magic Circle quite a few months ago. And it was actually not just about magic. It was about mental health as well. And he was talking about losing his mum, and it was very, very personal, but it really touched everybody. And he was talking about the relationship with magic and dealing with things. And he's such a class act.
And Michael, for me as well, I'm really proud and pleased to have him at the convention, because he's got a very special place in my heart, because I first met Michael when I think I was 11, 12 years old at Alan Ann's magic shop. And I was just like a kid learning magic. And I went in and I met this guy, and Michael was stood there. He was obviously a lot younger at the time. And I asked about some Marlowe books, and they both looked at me quite strange. What's this 12-year-old kid doing asking about Marlowe? And Michael showed me some magic, and I can remember it. I can cite it as, like, it was the first time anyone had ever shown me close up car magic really close. And I felt like, this is real magic. This is what I want to learn. This is what I want to do. And I can remember it clear as day. I can remember the trick that Michael did. He did Mental Reverse, which is published in Mint. And I can even remember the card I chose, which was a Three of Hearts, because that's how much of an impact it had on me. It was like, wow. You know, right? On that day when it reversed. And just the feeling of this elation of, oh my God, this is what I want to do. And from there, I used to meet Michael in Alan Allen's and see him at various different places. And he taught me so much stuff over the years. He taught me double lift technique. He taught me the pass, which I do really well now. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you do it really well. But it came from Michael. Michael taught me that, you know. And for me, I just absolutely adore him. He's, you know, he's, again, someone that's got so much knowledge and so much, information over the past. And also, you know, the someone that studied all the classics and all of those people. And
it's another master magician.
And it kind of harks back, though. It harks back to what I was saying at the top of this, you know, you mentioned that Michael's not lectured for about 10 years, right? He's been a bit coy about lecturing for a long time. I know that, right? He's either not felt confident or he's not had the right opportunity. And this is why I think Michael and I make a really great team for this convention, because we asked him And he said, you know what, for you guys, I'm going to come and do it. And that's why it's great to be able to get these people along and call those in. Because, you know, Michael, you know, I wouldn't say he was never an official mentor for me, but he was certainly someone that I learned a hell of a lot through growing up. And I really looked up to and still do. Do you know what I mean? No, yeah. To me, he's an absolute master.
A proper master magician. He is a master magician. You know, we talk about these master magicians of the past who used to hang around the Magic Castle. Michael Vincent is the best of the best.
Yeah.
He really is. And we're thrilled to have him. So
I would be happy if he just spent his 45 minutes performing and didn't teach a single trick. He's that good. Like, yeah. He's one of the only people that I can just watch and just be fooled over and over and over again.
I've got copies of old Abracadabra magazines in 1991 where Michael Vincent is publishing variations on the most advanced Marlowe techniques, right? That's like 30 years ago. And you've got people nowadays that have been in magic 2 or 3 years. And it's like, you know, mate, this guy is a bloody genius. He's a legend, right? You know, he's so, so good. You've got no idea. And he was that good 30 years ago, you know?
Yeah, he is. You know, he is a star of the Magic Circle. And we're very lucky that he does a lot of our Magic Circle close-up shows, actually, on Fridays. He is often...
Michael has forgotten more about card magic than most people have learned in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that completely. And then, closing
with my sponsor. Oh,
very important.
Just great news. Mind my rug. Mind the rug, my wife will kill me.
Sorry, it's not coming off.
You guys should do a double act. I think you could be the next Hudson and Hudson.
To the bottom of that glass. So I'm just watching my rug and watching Lee with red wine.
Oh, come on. We're much funnier than Hudson.
Can I just say...
Alan, that is not... Cat's very funny.
Alan, Hudson and Hudson, and Alan will back me on this. The reason they're doing so well is because we booked them as a double act for the Magic Circle Convention.
I was there. I saw the very first time they performed.
I asked them, I said, would you both do a double act together? And they're like, oh, I don't know if we do that. And he's put that, I think it was on a podcast, he's put it on record out there that is where it all started. And now they're back doing Edinburgh again. So that's down to us.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing their show in Edinburgh. Yeah. I really enjoyed them at the Magic Circle Convention. They've got a great, very funny dynamic.
They have.
They did the Christmas show.
The Christmas show. That's what I meant. Yeah.
The convention then.
No. It's from the Christmas show is what I meant. Yeah.
But they did the convention.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The wine's kicking in.
The wine's kicking in. I'll answer for Lee from now on.
Well, let's talk about.
We've not even completed the day yet. So you've just seen Michael Vincent, right? Your mind is blown. You've learned some amazing stuff. You go back to the dealer's hall and you pick up that thing you wanted to buy because Craig Petty's got a new release out. At the convention.
I have a brand new one at the convention. Yeah.
So there you go. Another reason. Get your tickets now. Carry on, Craig. You'll go through the running order.
Before the gala show, the final lecture that we've got, and you really have saved the best till last, is the one and only Ryan Hayashi, who, he's done it and then some over and over again. He's so good at everything that he does. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Ryan perform, and again, it was a very learning experience for me because I thought I was good at Matrix. And then I saw him do 15 minutes of the most insane Matrixes I've ever seen in my life. And he was just progressively getting more and more annoying with it. I was like, this is just insane. But that is just one element of what this guy can do. I mean, he's just... so funny. He's so talented. He is just great. Like Ryan Hayashi, if people haven't seen him, that's my highlight. That right there.
Someone mentioned to me the other day that apart from his magic, even just he speaks 7 languages fluently.
Hayashi's a great, great friend of mine. I mean, he's like I'm very close to Hayashi, which is one of the reasons why when I met him a few months ago, I was like, come and do our convention. He was up for it. I mean, I've known him for many years, and we just like gel and connect, you know, and hit it off. And he's been over many times. He stayed with me a few times, and I absolutely love him. And he's just, what's wonderful is that he's so good and yet quite understated in a lot of ways. But do you know, I've never, ever, I can honestly say this hand on heart, I've never known him ever do a convention, do a lecture, do a gig where people haven't come out afterwards and gone, oh my God, that was one of the best things we ever saw.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere, even when he's done a fringe show, right? People are like, right, he just smashes it every time, right? And he's a great performer on that basis. Like, right? Yep. you never see him do a bad job. You know, he just absolutely kills it. And he's got, you know, he does all the samurai stuff, all the karate stuff, all the Zen stuff, all the martial arts stuff. He does, you know, when you see him perform the close up with the Matrix and stuff, there's a Zen like ability to it, you know, and he's just great. And also, a lot of those type of people sometimes take themselves too seriously, doesn't he? He's got this wicked sense of humor with it as well, which is really fun, you know.
I'll never forget, I'm sure it's Hayashi, but I can't find it anywhere. So I was talking to somebody about the convention and they said, who's Hayashi? And I was raving about him. And I'm sure I remember seeing him do a competition years ago, which was to do with a translation device.
Yeah. That's
you
right.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was his act. Yeah. That's the act on International Magic with. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a good act.
Yeah.
Such a funny act. Such a really great premise. Way ahead of its time.
He came on. Yeah. This was like years ago. He won the international. I mean, years ago when Wednesday was a big thing, International Magic Convention, and they had the International Magic Close-Up Competition. He won that. He actually won that. I think, I don't want to cite the year because I might get it wrong, but I think it was early 2000s, something like that. And yeah, he came on, and apparently he tells the story so well, and I probably won't do it justice, but apparently there'd been a few acts on before that like weren't a bit substandard. The audience were already a bit exhausted because some competitions can run on, you know. And he came on and he was like, and he looks, for anyone that looks at him, he looks sort of, you know, oriental and that, but he's not. He's from Germany and he's got American heritage. So, he speaks eight languages and he speaks them perfectly. But he came on and he was speaking this sort of, you know, I don't want to do any cultural appropriation here, but he was, you know, talking Chinese, you know, Mandarin sort of thing, you know, which you can imagine. And he said, don't worry, I have the translation device here. I'm not going to do cultural appropriation. And he had this device, but you saw, you know, the whole. I was there. I was actually there. I was physically there. I don't know, were you there? Did you see it?
I was there. Yeah.
So you and I are both there, and I just remember, as you probably remember, the whole audience going, oh God, not like 15 minutes of this. Like, you know, just you just saw everyone's faces drop and go, oh, here we go. This is going to be a nightmare, you know. And then he went, he did about 2 minutes and he went, hey, I can speak English. Like, he swapped the voice of the recorder with his voice, didn't he? It was a magic trick as well. He swapped the two. He went, you know, he was like, but if I can swap the voice with this,
hey,
I can speak English. And the crowd just, I mean,
brilliant.
Honestly, Craig, if you remember, he'd won it before he did any more magic.
Oh, wow.
That was it. Everyone went, he's won. That was just gold.
He won straight away. Yeah. Brilliant.
He literally won the competition at that point.
Wow.
So good. Yeah.
People are in for a treat. People are in for a treat. But then, after the whole lecture experience has ended, this is where things get interesting, because Ryan's act finishes at 6:15. You've then got some time to grab a couple of drinks, maybe get a bite to eat. But then at 7:30, so about an hour and a quarter later, you've got the gala show, which is always incredible. And all we've got at the moment on the website is hosted by Michael J. Fitch.
Well,
the draw that you are, Michael.
There's always a disappointment to every convention, you know, but we've got to put up with it.
That's true. That needs to be updated. I it's a pleasure to host that, but we may even have the lovely Debbie McGee, I think, who is going to be we could be upgraded to Debbie, which fingers crossed, touch,
mate. You're brilliant. You're brilliant.
It's all right. I want to watch. He is brilliant.
He's done a fantastic job.
I think Debbie is up for hosting. So Debbie will be involved in the evening show, in the gala show, which is Sunday night at the Magic Circle, which is what we call our show. And we'll have some beautiful posters available, like old, you know, like we've done the last ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, you've got a copy because obviously your son was, he was in the first
convention. He was the very first one. Yes, he was on the gala show at the very first one.
Amazing. And that's really nice because I saw Ryland perform at the London Magic Convention, and he gave us a mention because he used the cups and balls that we gave him.
That's nice.
For his doing his spot, and he actually mentioned that he got them as a gift, which was really nice. And he did an amazing cups and balls.
And he does the cups and balls in every show. He's just done 3 shows at the House of Secrets.
Oh, amazing!
Every time he does the cups and balls, and he always talks about the Magic Circle.
Vernon's routine.
Sorry,
you doing Vernon's routine? Or
he does Vernon's routine. Yeah,
fantastic,
amazing. It was such amazing. But I love that. He was great. And so we always had, so he did the first year. Then we had Harry Merlin Piper did an amazing spot, opened last year's convention for us.
He was amazing. And
we would like, the convention lineup will be all the acts that have lectured, and we'll have some surprises in there as well, the Sunday night at the Magic Circle. But we would like, subject to availability, the winner of Young Magician of the Year competition to have a spot in our gala show as well.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah,
because it's always been amazing having that spot, hasn't it? Having a
because the Magic Circle's always been about the future of magic and promoting magic and getting
And Michael and I have tried to actually showcase that a bit as well in terms of up and coming people, bit of diversity. You know, we've always looked to try and make it diverse. That's something that's really at the forefront of my mind, is trying to keep, you know, to the inclusion of having everyone involved with us, you know. So having the youngsters there and these brilliant people that we've had in the past is one of my favorite bits, actually.
The gala show is a real celebration of magic.
Yeah.
And just going back to last year's show, one of the highlights of last year's show was that we had my heroes was Terry Herbert.
Oh.
And yeah. Terry Herbert came out of retirement and did the sausages on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And raised the roof. He was absolutely fantastic. And I did, in fact, that this is interesting how many of these things lead to things. So the first convention, Terry Herbert was in the front row watching. And I was hosting the event, and I was like, oh, there's Terry Herbert. So I got him to stand up. I said, ladies and gentlemen, Terry Herbert's in the audience. And he stood up and he said, oh, thank you very much, young man. Hello, everybody. Right? And everyone gave a big round of applause. And then that sparked off something in my mind. And it was at a future council meeting, and which I said to Lee and everyone else on council, I was like, I really want to make sure we do a night or a day at the, not the convention, sorry, at the Circle, celebrating legends of the Magic Circle. And it was from seeing Terry there, because unfortunately, a lot of these legends of the Magic Circle are not with us anymore. And I'm extremely lucky to have had friendships. I know Lee has, I know you have. But like, no, Pat Page was a real mentor, and he was a magical advisor on a TV show I did years ago. And there's these amazing legends of the Magic Circle that need to be celebrated while they're still here. And it was from the convention, seeing Terry, and that played in my mind, seeing him there. He's like, oh, people don't remember me. And I was like, right. And so I was like, can we do, just coming off subject a little bit, from a council meeting, can we put on a Legends evening at the Magic Circle? So we, a bit like sort of This Is Your Life type of thing, where we talk about their career. And I've done this in the past, obviously, with Wayne Dobson and at conventions and stuff. So I was very comfortable doing that. So I went and saw Terry for a day at his house, which was amazing. Went through his scrapbooks and different things, and we created that event. But that was a spin-off from him being at the Magic Circle convention. And we had a special evening for him. His family were there. He got multiple standing ovations of that night. We played video clips of him on Beatles About. He was on Beatles About, did a really funny sketch. And him doing his sausages on Paul Daniels' show and all this stuff. And his family were there, and we had a really lovely celebration. And it was so amazing. Then we did it again with George Kavari, which was amazing.
Another legend. Yeah.
And now we've got John Stiles coming up. And we just had one recently that Jeanette Page put on for her dad, for Pat Page. And we gave her, we get a beautiful plaque done, Legends of the Magic Circle. And Jeanette and her husband Philip put on an amazing talk all about him. But that this was a spin-off from the convention. So, but last year's convention, I mean, we had James and Marina, we had some amazing headline, but Terry Herbert for me was one who really stood out, wasn't he? He was just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, I love James and Marina. I thought they were.
Oh, they
were absolutely. So I'd struggle choosing, but
having them come over from Dubai and do their mind reading, I mean,
and we had some brilliant acts that day, but I mean, yeah, but seeing Terry, as Michael said with the legend, these people are not going to be around forever, you know, and to celebrate them now and be able to watch them now is just fantastic, you know. And hey, when you were talking about Terry there, you reminded me, and I think it's, you know, without sort of blowing our own trumpet, it's an important point I think to make to people is that, you know, I don't think, you know, neither of us, unfortunately, are anywhere near having the legend status yet, but we have been in Magic long enough to be able to go to someone like Terry and say, you know, and have that conversation and say, mate, we'd just love you to come and do this and be able to pull that off, you know, and I'm really proud of that. And I think, you know, and working together with Michael as well, it's like, you know, us as a team doing that, you know, is brilliant because, you know, there is a bit, you know, it's like, oh, Lee and Michael have asked, you know, all right, I'll come and do it. Do you know what I mean? That's really nice, you know, and it's like, you know, that makes me feel proud. And it also enables us to go and offer that to the people that are coming along to the event.
It's nice because we're on the same page with all of that. We've got respect for those legends of Magic and also respect for the youngsters in Magic. And that's what we want the show to cover. And also, just on a side note, Terry Herbert is coming to the convention. So you'll be able to sit, buy him a coffee, and sit and have a chat with him because. And
besides which, if you knew Michael as well as I do, it's really difficult to say no to him. he does not take it for an answer easily.
No, don't take no.
on that subject,
and I'm the same. I'm the same. So if we ask you to do anything, watch out.
Yeah. Sorry, Craig.
No, I was just going to say on that subject. You know, obviously, I'm guessing through 2024. You're going to be planning more Legends nights.
Yes.
You're going to be planning more nights for magicians that are a bit longer in the tooth, that haven't got as much time on this planet. So with that in mind, when are you getting David Penn in?
He'll love getting a mention. I tell you what we have got, though. Just right.
Can I just say, if this stays in the edit, right, I just want to say, I don't want to talk about anything controversial at all. I want to say, and I've always said, I think David is a brilliant magician and his lectures are one of the best lectures I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think he's a fantastic magician. I really do. Right?
I've known Dave probably not as long as you have, Michael, but I've known David a very long time. And yeah, he's incredibly talented. And you don't get to where he's got to without having skill, business acumen, talent, just the guy's got it all. He's very, very good at what he does, and he's always thinking three steps ahead of anyone else. He's all when you're here, he's here.
He's yeah, here. And also the stuff he is bringing out and creating is unbelievable. You know, he's already got next year's Blackpool releases.
Yeah,
and I mean the new thing is done with the Nesta boxes. You think, it's great what he did with the box, but now he's got those. And the quality of them, they are sold out instantly. By the way, Dave, I get a free one for mentioning this. thank you. I've got everything else. It's very, very, very good.
You know what I would like to see one day? I love having Dave on a future convention, actually. Because a lot of people that have come into Magic in the last few years, they might know him as the tech magician. They might know him as the Wizard Magic Review, but... You know, he's won the Magic Circle Closer Magician of the Year, Stage Magician of the Year, Kids Magician of the Year. He's done so much. It'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely. Know. No, his lecture is amazing.
He's
really good. The refraction. I remember once someone saying to me at a gig, and it's a bit like you're at these gigs where people say certain things. You always get, everyone gets, have you seen the lady? I've seen the lady, she pushes a bottle through a table. Like, yes, very presto, blah, 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 which is great. But I remember once someone said to me at a gig once, I saw a magician, he got a wine glass and he bent a wine glass. And this was before it was out. And I was like, you what? He said, yeah, he got the wine glass and bent the wine glass. David Penn.
I used to do that. I used to do with Frankston.
Oh, did you? Yeah, yeah, that's just before it. Before it was out. So I remember I rang him and I said, "What is that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do." And I'm bringing it out.
I tell you what, I think it's a brilliant effect. I remember Teller.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember Teller doing an interview and saying that one of the key things about magicians is, you know, that makes a good effect is going to far more trouble than anyone else would ever imagine you went to. You know, I remember Paul Martin and Jamie Raven and a few other guys taking the mick out of me when I was still outside.
Don't give away method.
No, but I was still
outside. I know, this story's going.
Okay, fine. I was still outside a marquee
preparing
the wine glass.
Mentally.
If you know what that's involved,
magic circle rules.
Yeah.
Cut, yes.
But it takes a lot of effort to do that effect, a lot of magical powers to do that effect, yeah. And
magical powers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I used to do it. I thought I still believe, I think it's a great effect. And it ticks all the boxes of what I think is a good effect for the lay public, right? You've got, it's not a card trick, right? It happens in their hands. It's an impossible object, right? They get to keep it. I think it's brilliant. I really do. I still think it's brilliant.
Awesome. Just on the next Legends evening is John Stiles, by the way. John Stiles.
I mean, worth mentioning though, if we're talking about that effect, that
it's gone on to refraction.
Well, fine.
No. I want to hear this thought.
Penn's effect originally, is it?
It's
from Ted Leslie.
Yes.
That's the point. I mean, that's what I was going to say. Was all I wanted to do was credit Ted Leslie if we're talking about.
Well, Ted had that book that he put it on. That's what called the bed. Dave was the person that made it more practical by eliminating the book, working out a way of Ted.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. He is a legend though. So
so let's talk about price. Let's talk about money, how much it's going to cost. Let's talk about everything, because I'm not being salesy here. Tickets are very, very limited. Yes, not, the reason I'm putting this interview up now.
Our VIP tickets have sold out. Right, they're completely sold out. However, we've still got regular tickets available. The great thing about the Magic Circle Theatre, I mean, the VIPs get a free gift and they get slightly, you know, they get preferential seating. But
and a champagne reception with Marvin.
Champagne reception with Marvin, yeah, you know, but you can't have everything. But but the great thing about the Magic Circle Theatre is, you know, as anyone that's been there will know, it's a 165-seater theatre. And there isn't a bad seat in the Magic Circle Theatre. Yep. Like wherever you're sat, it's an intimate enough theatre that you know that there isn't anywhere that's terrible to sit. It's a lovely little boutique, cute theatre for those who have never been there. I'm sure a lot of people have. So the members' tickets are £70.
Yes.
That are left. They're available on the Magic Circle, magiccircle.co.uk/convention. I'm sure you'll post the link. Non-members' tickets are £90. Okay. Which again gets you access to absolutely everything that the members have. Mm-hmm. I think incredible value for a whole day of magic, lectures, performances, gala show. We'll have Michael and I'll put on a few extra treats through the day as well. You know, you've got that incredible Dealers Emporium and Hall. Absolute no-brainer to be there.
Karaoke at the end somewhere in the car park. We'll find a way.
We'll find it.
Got to be done. Got to be done, boys.
Lee actually did finish last year's convention singing to me, my wife Helen, James Marina, and a few late in the hotel at the Wesley about 1 o'clock in the morning singing New York City Boys. I have got the footage. I could give it to him.
And
to
if you all buy a ticket and we're sold out by the end of the weekend, I will get Craig to post the video. If we're sold out by the end of the weekend, I will get Craig to post the video. So there's an offer for you.
I know
you've got it. Yeah.
Got to be done. Right. Buy your tickets right now.
Get your tickets now. And that's a special right there.
Including
the dance routine. Remember the dance routine you did?
Don't sell it too much.
I'm going to buy all the tickets myself at this rate.
No, it's worth it. But we can guarantee you a magical day full of lots of great friendship with magicians, sitting down, having a drink, an amazing day, and celebrating the best of magic. And we have got magic royalty, the lovely Debbie McGee, joining us.
Absolutely. It's going to be incredible. Guys, congratulations on topping year three, topping year two. I know you said you didn't set out to do it, but you've done it as far as I'm concerned without even being there. I'm looking forward to being there. I'm going to be hanging out in the dealer hall. I've got a brand new trick that I'm going to be releasing at the convention, which is really exciting. And I know that there's a bunch of stuff going on in that dealer hall as well, outside of everything that we've talked about. So this is the place to be. And if you don't know, you live in the UK and you don't really come to London very often, just so you know, the Magic Circle is right next to Euston Station. It's a 5-minute walk away from Euston Station. It's direct access to there. And the trains run very late away from there as well. You know, I can very easily come on the train and leave on the train and see the whole thing at the convention. So there's no excuse not to come. It's going to be incredible. And I'm super excited for it. Guys,
can't wait to see you there.
Can't wait, mate. And thank you for everything you do for Magic. You're a real positive force.
Yeah, absolutely. And, keep up the good work.
Long may you continue, mate.
Here's to Magic TV. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. You
got to get a new bottle of wine. We ran out.
There you go. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Lee. Guys, here's what I want you to do me a favor. First of all, while they're getting drunk, go down below, leave a comment down below. And remember what we said. If you've got something that you want us to ask Debbie McGee, put it down below. I'm going to be back again very, very... He's off. I'm going to be back again very, very soon. I'm going to be back tomorrow with a bunch of videos. But make sure you go book the tickets. The link is going to be in the description down below. I guarantee you don't want to miss this. It's going to be amazing. On behalf of Lee, who's now disappeared, and Michael, you've been left just you and me.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I just say, those questions we mentioned earlier, if you have got a question for Debbie McGee or your favourite illusion or moment to ask, I'm going to see Debbie soon and planning the interview and the questions. So I'd love to see that in the comments, please. It'd be great. Boom.
100%. Leave some down below. I'm going to type some in the comments myself. But I'll see you again. On behalf of Lee, on behalf of Michael, thank you so much. I'm Craig. I'll see you at the Magic Circle convention. One more time, the date is Sunday the 12th. Sunday the 12th.
2024 is what you're going to say. Yeah.
Sunday the 12th of May, 2024. So yes. I'll see you guys there. Michael will see you there. It's going to be a fantastic time. Thanks very much for watching. My name's Craig. This is Magic TV. And he's getting drunk.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.